You've heard me preaching it for years, but you didn't have the wits to know what you were hearing. Why do you suppose I denounced greatness and praised mediocrities like you? Great men can't be ruled. Why did I preach self-sacrifice? If you kill a man's sense of personal value, he'll submit.
That's potent. That's from The Fountainhead. That's by Ayn Rand, my favorite author. And that is her villain exposing himself. He's saying great men, meaning men who think independently, who think rationally, who pursue rational goals and love their life and have courage and have pride in themselves and earn sense of pride. Those great men, by men, he means men and women, that if you can kill their sense of value, if you can make them feel guilty for wanting anything, a new dress, a new car, a new boat, a new house, a new career, a new anything, if you can make them feel unearned guilt, you can rule their mind. If you can introduce self-doubt into their mind that who are you to enjoy life? You're just being selfish. That's what we all hear. If you can do that to a person, you own them. You can control them by guilt. And that is heinous. Is that the word? No, that was heinous. That's awful. That's hideous. And if you feel any of that inside of you, that envy, that desire to kill the best in people, you want to clean up your act because you're not going to like yourself. The first person you hate will be yourself. And if you're a victim, if you've been told, don't be selfish, you know, you should always think of others, Susie's a good person because she only thinks of others, then I would read The Fountainhead and Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged, any of her works, because you will see that self-valuing, self-esteem is not what people say it is. It's not the brute running roughshod over others, taking advantage of them, but it's your source of self-esteem. It's your source of pride. And anybody, if you're sitting in church or a temple, or if you're an Islamic fundamentalist, and you hear the preacher saying, you should give to others, you should only think of others, you know, you're selfish and, you know, God will only love you, blah, 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 if you think of others. That's the same principle. Men can't be ruled unless you preach self-sacrifice. You kill a man's sense of personal value and he'll submit. So that's just to say a wake-up call. Don't let anyone do that to you, whether you're in an abusive relationship or whether you're hearing that from religious sources, which do it all the time, or whether you're hearing it from secular sources. You have to always give to the community. You have to always give. It's always a one-way street, and that's not the way life should be. Life should be you pursuing your values, never taking advantage of anyone else, having a genuine generosity and benevolence towards other people who have earned your generosity and benevolence, not just being a prostitute and giving to every random person because you feel some unearned guilt that someone induced in you. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And I'm going to right now read an email about a very difficult situation a mom is in, or so she thinks. Hi, Dr. Kenner. I have a 12-year-old son, Tony, who has shared a sexual experience with another boy. I don't know if it's curiosity. I don't know what to think. I'm so confused. My husband says it's just curiosity and puberty, and it's normal. But I don't know. Now every time I look at my son, I think of these things. What should I do? 3 question marks. Please advise. Anna. Okay, every time I look at my son, I think of these things. Now, that's a toughie. I mean, you look at your son and you picture him with another boy or doing something sexual with another boy. So your mind is very unsettled about this. And my guess is your mind has gone to what most parents' mind goes to, the worst case scenario. You catastrophize. You start to thinking, oh my God, what is the meaning of this? Why is he doing this? Is it possible that he learned this from this kid? Has this kid been a victim of abuse? Is he abusing my son? Is my son abused? Is my son gay? Will I never have the grandchildren I want because he's going to have a gay relationship? And your mind can go on and on and weave one story after another story. Will he get AIDS because AIDS is more prevalent in the gay community? Will he be a decent gay kid or not? You know, will he be one of the ones that are on the fringes who give a bad name to the word gay, which is undeserved? So that's your worst case scenario. What I always encourage parents to do is to think of the best case scenario, which is just what your husband's doing. That this is simple curiosity, simple exploration, simple self-discovery. He's discovering an orgasm. He's discovering that your parts of your body tingle and feel really good. And you want to set a standard for him. Instead of saying, I don't ever want you with that kid again. I don't want you ever to ever touch another guy again. Well, that's going to tempt him, because anything taboo and anything a parent yells at you at, you're more tempted to want to say, don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want. And you proceed with the same behavior. So what I would encourage is just to say, honey, it's great that our bodies can give us such pleasure. At this stage, you want to do that in private. You know, enjoy yourself in private. So you're not saying that masturbation is bad or anything. You're just encouraging him, setting a standard that it's to be done in private. And you don't want to give him a lot of unearned guilt or guilt about this. You can give him the book, What's Happening to Me. It's a book by Peter Maley, which helps kids understand puberty, and it also helps parents understand puberty and makes some sense of getting an erection and being around the opposite sex and being turned on. Again, I want to underscore that this is normal behavior. It's not normal in the sense that we encourage kids to, you know, masturbate with other kids the way we tell them to brush their teeth. When they explore sexuality, though, it's not something we want to encourage, but it's something that does happen. Two kids can be playing doctor and it goes a bit too far. Or two young girls may be experimenting in an overnight camp and have a do or dare type of situation and they go a little too far. Or boys can discover, or girls can discover, their dad's Playboy or a penthouse and get instantly aroused and they start experimenting together. So it's not necessarily bad. And I will bet, Anna, if you did a poll of the next 50 people you met and asked them how they first learned about sex, I'm not saying that you'll do this because most people won't be honest and it's prying, but how they learned about sex, and if they were completely honest with you, you would be served several stories of people who experimented with same sex, and you would see that it's normal. I see it in therapy a lot. Adults will tell me, well, my first sexual experience was this, and the same sex experience, and they're very happily married. So I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and I hope that helps you, Anna, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. This one was a little scary one. You think of 4-year-olds being darling or a pain in the butt occasionally, but listen to this one. Dear Dr. Kenner, I have a 4-year-old nephew whose dad walked out on him and his mom. His dad visits him once or twice a month. I am concerned because my nephew has so much anger built up. He constantly talks about killing everybody and taking a knife and stabbing everyone. Can you please help us teach him how to release all of his anger in a healthy and positive way? And again, this is her nephew, her 4-year-old nephew. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to help get to the source of his anger. You need to understand it. And if you're in his life, I'll assume you are in his life a bit, maybe babysitting a bit, or maybe you have a good relationship with the mom, find out what's going on. Maybe the mother's really angry. If dad walked out and left her with the kid, she may be the loving mom, or she may be really resentful and taking it out on the kid, in which case the mother may be the source of anger, not the dad. You want to find out what's causing it. It's also possible that he may be abused. I've seen many kids with this degree of rage because I worked with abused kids for several years, and they would take my dolls and rip the heads off of like a Ken doll or whoever was the stand-in for the perpetrator. That person would be torn limb to limb, thrown across my office. There's so much anger. So if it's that he's been abused, you want to look for some signs of it: burn marks, cuts, bruises, fear of adults or anger towards adults, and out of proportion anger, bite marks on him, if it's sexual abuse, any secretiveness, any self-injury, any harming himself or hurting animals. There are lots of typical signs of sexual abuse. You can go to websites, just put in sexual abuse children, and it will tell you, or input symptoms, and you'll immediately get several sites. I've done that myself. So what is the alternative? You want to get a book, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk by Adele Faber and Elaine Maslisch at my website. Have him say, I can see how angry you are. Draw me a picture of how angry you are. He's only 4 years old. Tell me in words. Tell mom in words. And let's come up with some better ways of dealing with the anger. So you want to find its cause and then give him better strategies to cope with his anger. And coming up, what happens behind the closed doors of a psychologist's office? We'll find out with Dr. Corey Newman. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and Dr. Edwin Locke.
When should you compromise and how do you do so fairly? It's important that partners resolve conflicts promptly, fairly, and respectfully. Conflicts can often be settled by compromise. We use the word compromise here to mean collaborative resolutions in which both parties get at least some part of what they want. Sometimes there can be creative solutions in which both parties get almost everything they want. We are talking about practical compromises, not moral compromises. By talking and brainstorming with your partner, you can make a list of possibilities and then work to find the one that works best for both of you.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.